International break is upon us, so we take the time to review our wild cards, analyse the fixtures to the festive period, and settle the debate of whether we finally have a regular captaincy conundrum. Welcome back to the FPL Pod, where it is the Thursday after the week before wildcard week. And naturally, there was only one winner. Yep, believe it or not, somehow I, Kelly Summers, edged out Sam Bonfield and Julian Duron to, for once, just about get the most points. And Sam, I am absolutely going to take that.
Mickey van der Ven is all I've got to say to
yes,
you, Kelly.
Yes, what a legend. It feels
so
even
lucky.
Sweeter to know that a Spurs player did it. Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? Hi, Jules.
Hi, Kelly. I knew that you would like bask in the sunshine. Is that what you say in English?
Bask in the glory.
That's it. But well done. You know, you deserve it.
I should probably give some context to this because I've just made it sound like I absolutely wiped the floor with both of you. But actually, I got 62, Jules got 58 and Sam got 57. So it was very tight. But as Jules always reminds us, a win's a win on
exactly.
Here. Sam, it was all about Mickey van der Ven, wasn't it? I got very lucky, I'm going to be honest. I couldn't afford a Doge in at the last minute. I think you can actually look in my transfer history and see that at 10:59, I had a last minute change of heart and Mickey van der Ven came in and I was in the green room at BBC and Chris Sutton was there actually. And he can testify for the celebrations. I have never celebrated a goal for another team, let alone a Spurs player, ever. I didn't know at that point that you'd definitely taken him out of your team until I saw Lee's tweet. That didn't make it sweeter. I'm not going to pretend that. If it was Jules, it would have. But it didn't. I actually felt sorry for you. And I felt very, very jammy. But you've got to take these wins when you get them.
Do you know, it's the one Spurs goal this season that I didn't celebrate properly because I celebrated it, got up, realised who it was, and then was like, you're joking.
Do you know I had him at that point?
Yeah, because I check your team straight after the deadline passes and the game reloads. So I was like, I need to check what she's done. So I knew you had him and I came off air with Sky and was like, I think I'm going to swap him back. And Lee was like, you can't do it now. It's 2 minutes before the deadline.
Oh,
and
you
I was
can.
Like, I can't. And then I was like, no, I can. But I didn't have time.
Oh,
so I ended up with, because I wanted to leave the money in the bank for Saka. And if I'd have done van der Ven instead, I would have had it. So I was raging with myself. And I said on the drive home, I guarantee you Mickey van der Ven will score today. So when he did, I was like, it's really not going to be my week, is it?
Do you know what? It's a much better longer term move because I've completely gotten the most imbalanced squad you've ever seen. Because just to let the listeners know, at the last minute, or kind of overnight on Friday, I was really like, I bought in Watkins because I thought his price was going to rise. And I really wanted a front three, which I know Jules went for as well, of Haaland, Alvarez and Watkins. I was always not going to go with Saka because I didn't think he'd start last weekend and I thought I'd deal with that headache further down the line. Unlike you, Sam, I didn't leave the money in the bank. I've got budget FC defence, but they did all right for me. Van der Ven this week did fine, but that's why Van der Ven had to come in and that was all finalised at 10:59. But it went okay last week. I'm just not sure how good it's going to be for the long term. Jules, how did your team do?
Yeah, you said 58. Kells, it was not too bad. I'm glad I started Turner in goal. I kind of fancy that 0-0 between Palace and Forest. William Saliba was my hero of the week, of course. You know, Paris born and bred, and the game that he had against Haaland. It's a shame in a way that Haaland and Alvarez both blanked, but in fairness, everybody has them. My only regret, really, if I can say like this, is that I picked the wrong captain. I went for Son, like a lot of our managers.
Me too.
Instead of Salah, I had Salah at some point as captain, and then I just felt that Son just didn't make sense as well. To be fair, both of them made sense. It's one of those where, like Sam did, she picked Salah, and that was the best option for sure. And for us captaining Son, it was slightly disappointing Saturday.
Yeah, had I picked Salah as my captain this week, I would have had a really, really good game
week.
Me
too.
That kind of saved you a little bit, didn't it? Not saved you, Sam.
It definitely did save you.
It did, yeah. It absolutely did because I must admit, I spent so much time stressing about who to captain that I didn't think about who was going to be on my bench. So I ended up benching Turner and Mark Guihe. So it was just a nightmare. So my bench is full of points. So thank goodness for Salah, because had I not followed my head, which said definitely captain Salah this week, it would have been pretty disastrous.
Do you know, the one good thing is I'm never going to have a bench to worry about. It's not good for injuries and stuff, but my bench is Anderson, Lamptey and Taylor. I think, as I said last week, it's 3.9 defenders FC is what I should probably rename my team. Jules, before we move on, you're not going to get away with this.
What?
Kept all the faith in your boy Raz. You finally sell him. And he's like, Jules, you don't keep the faith in me. Exactly. I'm going to bang.
That's the boost that the boost he needed, for sure. So I'm glad in a way I helped. I knew he was going to come good. It's just a shame that he did it when he was not in my team anymore. But I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for Pochettino and for Chelsea fans and all the managers in the game who have faith in some of those Chelsea assets, whether it's defensive or attacking. But I was pleased for him, but I won't lie. I was a bit gutted. I was like, are you for real? Are you really? Are you kidding me? After Jules, those weeks where you've been not good, now you put on a proper performance.
You cannot be pleased for him because you kept the faith and you were waiting for that. You cannot be pleased.
I am in a way because, you know, I want people to be
nice
happy.
Guy,
exactly. Oh. No, really. You know.
I'd have been raging.
I was gutted a bit.
And he is. Let's be honest, it's all a lie. Anyway, well, thankfully, we've all got 2 weeks to dissect that. And for me, I'm going to enjoy every minute of those 2 weeks to enjoy the narrowest of narrow wins and the most green arrows I think I've had this season. I also wanted to say that I was kind of beyond a million before last game week. And just having one good game week has taken me up to inside the top 440,000. So if managers are listening at this point and they feel like they're not having a great time, all it takes, doesn't it, Sam, at this stage is one or two game weeks and it can really propel you up.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were just saying that my game week wasn't exactly the best. It still halved my rank this week.
Yeah.
So you can have the right captain, even if the rest of your team doesn't do as well as you were hoping for, can make such a difference. And one good game week and suddenly you're flying again. So don't panic, I think, is the message. If you are struggling a little bit at the minute, there's always, well, there's 30 game weeks to go, plenty of time.
And also a few people said to me, wow, you're wildcarding quite early, aren't you? And for me, this is, I mean, we can all testify. I normally leave my wildcard to the last couple of weeks of the season or the last like couple of weeks before Christmas. And it did feel uncomfortable for me doing it. But I think, I don't know about if you feel like this, Jules, but I feel like it was completely justified. I'm so much happier with my team going forward. I worked out what my team from the week before would have got in the game week just gone, and I'd have got less than 30 points. So it does show you have to look at your individual team.
Yeah.
And choose when to wildcard rather than worrying when everyone else is doing it.
You're so right. It's all about timings anyway. Sometimes the team that you built at the beginning can last a little bit longer than for some other people. It depends on injuries. It depends on form. It depends on a lot of things. So usually, as you know, I like waiting for the November international break to do mine. But this time, like you, I felt this is a better time. I felt good before the last game week to do it then. I had a few players, as we know, not on good form, or they were hiding their best form, like Raheem Sterling, and others who were injured out of the team. We were not sure that full. So it made sense for me, but for some other people, it might make sense next week or the week after. It just depends. But yeah, you should not be too fazed by how many players are playing theirs. If your friends are in your mini league, some people are playing theirs. Let's not forget, it's the long game that matters so much. So
we finally taught him, Sam. He's realised it's the long game that matters.
It's only taken a couple of years, Cal.
Yeah, and he'll still make some crazy decisions for the next week or so. But don't change, Jules. Never change. Okay, so it is international break now, meaning we can all take stock a bit, and meaning a lot of wildcards probably will be active because this is traditionally a very good time to do it. You've got longer to make your changes. You can look at what happens with players when they go off with their respective countries. So hopefully what we're going to tell you over the next, how long have we got left? Depends how much I get told to hurry up by the producer. I don't know, 20 minutes or so. I'm going to push it and say 30 minutes or so. Hopefully it can help you despite there being no game week this weekend. Let's firstly just quickly check in on the FPL Pod Mini League. And this is actually remarkable. Makes my pathetic achievement of the week look even more pathetic. Jack, who is currently leading our league, is 24th in the entire world. There's me showing off about being inside the top 440k. He took a -4 in game week 8 and is still yet to use any of his chips, including still having that first wild card. So congratulations to Jack Dalton. Sam, that's the stuff dreams are made of, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Because although I've just been saying, you know, if you get this far in and you're not where you want to be, it's still easy to gain rank. It's also generally by this point that we start to see the managers that might be up and there and thereabouts by the end of the season that are. So for somebody like Jack to be 24th in the world currently, hopefully if he can maintain this, that should be something that he can make stick for the rest of the season.
Are you saying that none of us are going to get to 24th in the world?
Kelly, I think it's very unlikely that any of us are going to be 24th in the world.
Killing our dreams.
There's always next year.
That's always next year, yeah. It's the beauty of FPL. Anyway, in terms of the overall game so far, let's check in on the highest scoring players then. Ollie Watkins and Mohamed Salah are leading the way. Both are on 59 points. Erling Haaland is third on 55. Son Heung-min on 54. Bukayo Saka, 53. And then we've got Joachim Anderson on 51 and Jared Bowen on 50. They're potentially the surprises in the highest scoring players. Sam, I know you've kind of been studying these and who's at the top. I'm saying it with a dead straight face. I admire you. This is your job to be looking at all of these things. I know you've been knee deep in stats about the season so far this week. When you were taking a look at those players and those numbers, what did surprise you?
I mean, it's still really tight. Normally by this stage of the season, you see somebody that's kind of really standing out as a must have. Like this time last season, Haaland had 23 more points than he does now.
Wow.
Which is absolutely
that's
mental. Like it's mad that 23 more points. The fact that he's where he is, not leading, because we were all like at the beginning of the season, I have to have Haaland, you basically take away the 14 million. He's had a price drop as well this week, by the way, for the first time, I think, ever in FPL. I don't remember him ever having a price drop before.
Are people going to be selling him then? To people, well, obviously they are.
He's gone down like 5% ownership in the last couple of weeks, which is interesting to me. And on Wildcard, it was something I mentioned it last week, didn't I? It was something that I thought about and then quickly changed my mind on because the thought of not having him when he goes off and he's owned by nearly 90% now is just a lot. So it's interesting to me that he's not leading the charge at the moment. I think Watkins has steadily gone about his business in this early part of the season. Like, didn't have a goal, did he, for the first 5 weeks? And then all of a sudden, we're starting to see the goals come back in and he's returned every week. So I'm not surprised to see Salah up there. I'm not surprised to see Haaland up there. But I'm surprised that Haaland's not scored more than he has already.
Yeah, it has been quite surprising. And I've seen a lot of people wildcarding during the international break. And there's a lot of drafts going around where people are toying with the idea of selling Haaland. Jules, it never crossed my mind. Did it cross yours?
No, never. I think those points and the who's leading and stuff is really interesting because Salah has been really consistent. We said even if sometimes the return was only an assist or a couple of assists for Watkins, let's not forget he had one game week with 23 points, which would obviously kind of rig the result a little bit because if you have 1 week at 23 and your total of points is twice that, that means that for the rest, like Sam said, certainly at the start of the season, he was not that great. So it's really interesting. Of course, you follow that and you look at it and you look how many of those top earners you have in your team, but you can't be too obsessed with them either because as we always say, and this is the beauty of sports in general, not just football, but the ones who've done really, really good last week might not be as great next week, etc., etc. But I think it's a good basis to do your wildcard, especially say, okay, those and usually the ones who have done well at FPL for the first 8 games, usually they are still the superstars for some of them. So you can expect them to keep doing well. But for someone like Anderson, for example, I don't think any of us saw that one coming.
I'm a bit worried because when I first saw the team of the season so far, I thought, oh, brilliant. I've got 7 of the front 8 on my wild card. But what you've said is completely true, Jules. That shows that I've looked too far back, probably rather than advance. Just to tell you what the team of the season so far is then. It's Johnson in goal, a back 3 of Anderson, Trippier, White, midfield 4 of Salah, Son, Saka, Bowen, and then Watkins, Haaland and Alvarez up front. So yeah, a lot of the team that I've got there, not too many surprises, but I was almost a little bit surprised that Trippier was in. But then again, there was probably that one game week and he has picked up in the last few weeks to get himself back in there. Jules, you mentioned it. We do have to look forward when we're planning our teams, when we're wildcarding, we're making transfers. So it's quite a good point, I think, now to take a look at the fixtures. And we've got the fixtures out in front of us up until game week 18, which takes us up to the weekend before Christmas, when Manchester City and Brentford blank. Now, there's loads of popular FPL players who have great fixtures over this period. Sam, how much are you looking? I know you've just wildcarded, and I imagine, from knowing you, I reckon you'll try and hold your transfer this week. But how much in the coming weeks will you be looking at transferring in players with the good fixtures going forward? Because there are a few swings, actually, aren't there?
Yeah, there definitely are. And that was part of the reason for leaving so much money in my bank on wildcard is because I know that, you're right, I'm going to roll my transfer for game week 9. And then going into game week 10, I don't have any Arsenal players. And that is quite frankly terrifying with the run of fixtures they have coming up then. So I'm going to need a couple of them. So there's 2 free transfers going on 2 Arsenal players for game week 10 and the money in the bank to allow me to do that. So I think you have to think long term. particularly if you're wildcarding. A lot of the players that I bought in on wildcard were done, particularly the kind of more budget players, were done for a specific reason because they might come in handy in the next few weeks when they've got nicer fixtures. And I think it's really important. So definitely take a look at the fixtures. Whether you need to look all the way up to game week 18 like we have remains to be seen. I mean, you can kind of chunk it down a little bit more and look at five game weeks at a time. But I think if you're wildcarding and your wildcard's got to get you through to that festive period, then it's important to kind of take a look at the teams that have good fixtures all the way through.
Okay, come on then. Tell us which teams you're looking at fixture-wise.
West Ham, a massive standout when you think about the fixtures that they've got coming up all the way through now. I mean, it's a difficult fixture in game week 9 against Aston Villa, but then after that, fixtures are so nice for them and you can see real points return. So I bought a couple of West Ham players in on my wild card. Neither of them did anything last week, by the way, but that's fine because they were there more for the long term.
Did you bring Bowen in like me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Jared Bowen is... I did for quite a while about whether to go for Bowen or whether to go for James Ward-Prowse.
So did I, but the upside to Bowen just feels so much more.
It does, yeah. And I think, you know, yes, when we look at West Ham, James Ward-Prowse has got set pieces and all of that kind of stuff, which is, it's important and it's something that we should kind of consider when we're making those decisions. But for me, when I was looking at the underlying stats, there wasn't really any comparison. Like Bowen's had 23 attempts on goal so far this season. James Ward-Prowse doesn't come close to that. When we think about the amount of corners and stuff that they're taking, obviously James Ward-Prowse takes the set pieces, but he's not converting them at an astonishing level so far. So for me, Bowen was worth every penny because even when you look at things like chances converted, James Ward-Prowse is 13th for chances created amongst the midfielders. So not hugely high. Mm. So you've still got to then look at the players that are most likely to return points, and Bowen feels much more likely to score points on a weekly basis.
So West Ham have got Aston Villa in game week 9, then it's Everton at home, Brentford, Forest, Burnley, Crystal Palace, then Tottenham in game week 15, then Fulham, Wolves, then Manchester United in game week 18. So you can see why they're sitting top of the fixture ticker at the moment. Forest are also up there, then Newcastle, then Wolves, then Liverpool. Jules, any teams in particular you're looking at the moment that have good fixtures?
Yeah, I like Spurs. I like Spurs fixtures because sometimes the fixture ticker, I mean, if you look at Wolves, for example, they're fourth from the top. So you would think, okay, yeah, the fixtures are good, but in the next six games, they still have Newcastle, Spurs, and Arsenal. So it could be misleading a little bit. So look at them in proper details. But Spurs, I think before the City game, which is game week 14, so there's a few games to come before that. I think they are easily games that they can win, all of them they can win. They've got Fulham, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Wolves, and Aston Villa. So they might be, of course, difficult game, but let's not forget Spurs only have one game per week. They don't play in Europe. They don't play in the League Cup or stuff like that. So I really like this run of fixtures up to the City games for Tottenham.
You raise a really good point there, actually, Jules, because we're talking about fixtures across 10 game weeks and certain. So that does raise Wolves up because across the 10,
yeah,
they haven't got too many of the so-called trickier fixtures. But actually, if you look shorter term, they actually have their more trickier fixtures in the first five than they do the second five. So when you are checking out the fixture ticker, just be really wary of that because you can, like I probably would have had you not pointed it out, get completely lured in. Also, Sam, you'll notice that the Tottenham fixture probably isn't rating as highly on the fixture ticker as it probably should, given their form, really, is it?
No, but that's the way, isn't it?
Did you fix it? Did you actually rig the fixture ticker?
Of course not, Jules. But I did enjoy you talking so nicely about Spurs for a few minutes. That was nice.
Sam, we had another review this week saying you talk about Spurs too much. So
too much. Which always I know. Makes too much. I didn't bring them up, to be fair. It was Jules this week. Yeah, I mean, I think... Probably. So the fixture tick is based on a number of things. It's based on historic performances, matches against each other, how they performed last season. And of course, none of those things would have necessarily suggested that Spurs would have been quite the force that they have been so far this season. But it is adjusted. So it doesn't just stay fixed as it is all season. So as you get really strong performances and you know, good results from teams, it will change. But I think, you know, if you look at Spurs over the next few weeks, the fixtures do look nice. I'm not planning to say trebled up on Spurs, though, because I think you have to play the fixtures a little bit more this season. And there are other teams like Arsenal, like Newcastle, that I haven't got as heavy investment in as I probably want to have moving forward. And you do have to make some difficult choices. So I'll probably drop down to two Spurs assets, or maybe change the way I invest in Spurs from two attackers to two defenders.
Yeah, I think it's the first time I've ever been trebled up on Spurs in a very, very long time on FPL. Let's talk about some of the teams that are attracting a lot of interest. And we've already kind of had the West Ham, James Ward-Prowse / Bowen debate. There is a lot of interest in their attack. Do you think we could get away with having Souček? If not, Sam, he's maybe an option if you want to weigh into that West Ham attack. But for me, I just wouldn't consider going there when Bowen's an option, personally.
So I don't think you can have him as a replacement for Bowen. But I do think that there's potential to have him as your fifth alongside Bowen, because then you could bench him because he's so cheap. He's 4.9 million. He's a massive enabler in the game. He does like to do... I mean, do you remember a couple of seasons ago, Kel? We all had Souček.
Yeah, it was like
that.
Because
he was just returning all the time. And it was great. And I think, you know, you could double up on Bowen and Souček. I wouldn't do it in replacement of... I still think Bowen is the pick from West Ham. But I do think there's an opportunity. And it's something that I kind of considered, is that as somebody who still doesn't have Ollie Watkins, even after wildcarding, if I want to change the way that my team is structured... so that I can have three playing forwards. And I wouldn't want to bench any of them each week anyway. So I'd have to have a budget midfielder. And Thomas Souček kind of fits that bracket really nicely.
What about the West Ham defence? Because also a lot of us have got Areola. Jules, you've still got Areola, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I'm still happy to have him, but Soufal and Zuma, are they better options than Areola, or are you just quite happy having Areola?
I think Areola is an outstanding pick, really. And yeah, you can go for Zuma. I think it was one of some differential in the last couple of weeks or something. Soufal, yes, of course. Someone like Agüero, who is very good in the air. We saw him scoring in the Europa League against Freiburg. So those are all good picks. I think Areola, for the price... especially if you rotate your goalkeeper, or if you don't want to spend too much on your goalkeeper and go for an Ederson or an Alisson, I think Areola is great. He was on my train to Paris on Monday morning. We had a little chat, and then I saw him playing.
Do you actually talk to these players when you see them?
He's Paris born and bred. He's my guy. Alphonse is my guy. And then, no, listen to this. Then I saw him training with the national team.
Yeah.
He played in the field. He was amazing in front of goal. So I'm not saying West Ham fans. No. In general, no. It's got nothing to do with, you know, if we took the same train or not. I'm just saying that as a finisher, if ever David Moyes and you West Ham fans listening, you need a striker. I promise you, it was outstanding. I could not believe it. And I promise you, Didier Deschamps could not believe it either. And the other French players, it was lethal in front of goal. And I was like, wow, okay, fair enough. So Alphonse, for obviously all the very good goalkeeping qualities, but also because he could, you never know, maybe do a job as up front for West Ham, I think should be in everybody's team.
Exclusive here on the FPL pod, Areola goes from keeper to striker.
He was so good, Ken.
Like Giroud, he can swap places.
Exactly. He was so good. I was shocked.
I'm not sure managers should be bringing him in thinking he's going to score goals, though. So let's not lead anyone astray. That was only in France training. Okay, I think that's West Ham covered off. We've already spoken about Spurs and kind of whether, well, are we all trebled up on Spurs then?
I am.
What a weird time to be alive.
Oh, Jules, she's caught us. We're under a spell.
I know, exactly.
Spurs players, but it sounds like we all are.
You spent too much time with me, guys.
I know, we are all constantly going to review it, I think. What about Arsenal then, Jules? Because how do we invest in Arsenal at the moment? Because I don't have a single Arsenal player, and I know in the next few weeks that's going to be something I have to rectify.
I think Saliba is a Rolls Royce, absolutely. And if you were not too convinced, his performance against City and Haaland should convince you that he's one of the best defenders in the game. And I think Arsenal will get stronger and stronger defensively too, with the form that Declan Rice has in front of that back four and Thomas Partey coming back into the team. So Saliba for me is really one that everybody should keep in mind. And then you're right, the dilemma is the forward line, because Saka has had a really good season so far in the game, but there's those slight worrying maybe injury issues and knocks that he keeps getting, and we're not sure if he's going to start or not. Certainly against City, he was not there. He was in the stands. I think he would be okay for the Chelsea game. I hope so. But then you've got the option of Martinelli now coming back, and you saw how good he was for Arsenal when he came on at halftime against City. For Odegaard, the City game was quiet from his standards. Against Lens in the Champions League, it was quiet as well. So I think more and more the Arsenal opposition will have a plan against Odegaard, maybe more than against Saka or Martinelli, who are just wingers, so you go 1v1 against their fullbacks. for Odegaard is different at the heart of, you know, in the at the heart of the game, like where he plays. So I still think that Saka is probably good, but now Martinelli is a bit cheaper, and with the form and that kind of momentum that he will have, especially after working out for 2 weeks during the international break, I think maybe Martinelli now is the leading contenders from them three.
Yeah, I feel like it is kind of one to watch, isn't it, over the next few weeks, Sam, because we wildcarded him out. Jules, you took him out of your wildcard team as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've all taken him out, and it's something that we probably all share the same feelings on, that we know we're going to need an Arsenal midfielder, forward attacker at some point. You said you left the funds specifically in the bank for Saka. Is it definitely going to be Saka, or are you going to be reviewing what happens there?
No, it's not definitely anymore. It was definitely going to be Saka ahead of the Man City game. And then Martinelli came back, and I remembered how much I love Martinelli, because last season he was unbelievable.
Those were the days when we didn't have to have a Spurs midfield double up. We could have an Arsenal midfield double up.
I know, what a change it's become. But actually, by the way, I think the Arsenal midfield double up is definitely on for the next few weeks, because fixtures, even including the game week 9 fixture against Chelsea, are so nice. But if you do want to have all of these premium picks, and you want to have a front three that's got Haaland and Alvarez and Watkins, and you want to have, you know, the likes of Trippier and people like that as well in the defence, then you need to kind of find ways to make the budget work. And for Saka, you've got to pay 8.6. For Martinelli, it's 7.7. That's a significant difference. That's the difference between, you know, having a burn and being halfway towards upgrading him to a Trippier. Like, that's a massive change that you can make across the rest of your team. So for me, I was absolutely set that I was going to bring Saka in for game week 10, hold my transfer for game week 9, make the change from one Spurs midfielder to an Arsenal, what even has become of me, sell a Spurs midfielder for an Arsenal midfielder ahead of game week 10. And now I'm looking at it going, I still think I'll do that, but it might just be Martinelli that gets the nod rather than Saka, because if I do that, that gives me the budget to bring Saliba back, maybe rather than having Gabriel, because I still do prefer the Saliba pick over Gabriel at the back.
Those Arsenal fixtures then, because again, I'm really wary of what Jules said before. Arsenal sit kind of at the midway point on the fixture ticker up until Christmas, but the way their fixtures kind of fall, it goes Chelsea away, Sheffield United at home, Newcastle away, Burnley home, Brentford away, Wolves at home, Luton, Villa, Brighton, Liverpool. So those three before Christmas in particular look really tricky, but there's some, as you said, Sam, there's some fixtures in there that we will want an Arsenal player or an Arsenal attacker for. So definitely one for us to think about. Another team that we probably need to mention, Sam, you and I wildcarded largely because we needed Mo Salah. I'd been talking about it for weeks and I knew I had to get him in, and thank goodness I did last weekend. I saw a few people in the build-ups last weekend said, could Luis Diaz cover him? Jules, we've learned, haven't we, now that it has to be Mo Salah still?
I think so. There are always good options at Liverpool, of course, especially going forward. So Luis Diaz and Darwin Nunez and even Jota, if you want, when he comes back from the suspension. All of that is good. And even in midfield, Szoboszlai, we mentioned he was one of my differential. But if you can, really, if you have that money available, if you can make that money available, Salah is the man. There's no other way to look at it, really. One, he's been very good this season. Two, there's just something in that team that is still built around him. They play for him still, even with all the great players that he has around him. They're still very much Mo Salah's side. And I think, considering how many goals they score and how attacking they are this season, maybe more than ever, definitely Mo Salah is the one.
Yeah, and their fixtures are so nice. They're coming up fifth on the fixture ticker, but I'm looking through them now and I'm like, how are they not higher, to be honest?
Up to City, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Everton, Forest, Luton, Brentford. Then you've got City in game week 13. And then even after that, Fulham, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace. Then you get Manchester United and Arsenal in game week 17 and 18. That was what, for me, I think really did tip me over the edge. I needed Son and Salah, and that's why I had to wildcard. And I'm really pleased I did. What about Newcastle, Sam, actually? They're a really important one to talk about because they're third on this fixture list up until Christmas. They've had really hard fixtures to start the season. We said from kind of mid-September onwards there, we were going to be looking at their players a little bit more. How should we invest? And also, did we see this weekend, none of us went for Trippier on our wildcard because of that huge price jump from your kind of Dan Burns, Sven Botmans to him. Did we see this weekend why people maybe should invest and spend a little bit more to get him?
Yeah, it's so tough, isn't it? Yeah. It's really tough because Newcastle look they look great. I mean, so given the fixtures at the beginning of the season were so difficult, they are top across all the teams for expected goals so far. They're top for goal conversion so far this season. So doing all the right things. Defensively, they're looking solid as well. They don't always keep the clean sheets, but for the price point that you've got to pay for the likes of Burn and Shaw and Botman, they're well worth that budget-friendly price tag. Trippier, I really struggled with last week because he was the one player on wildcard, well, apart from Ollie Watkins, that I was looking at kind of going, I'd really, really like to have you in my team, but I don't know how to find that extra 2 million that I need to have you there.
Yeah.
But then we saw last week that when the clean sheet goes, the potential for attacking returns for Trippier is absolutely huge. He's created more chances than anyone else in the game so far this season, 27. Now, when you think about that, given the fixtures that he's had, and given the teams that the likes of Maddison and Bruno Fernandes, who are second and third on that list, have had, the fact that he's creating that many chances is a bit obscene. So I think if you can have him, he's well worth the upgraded money. The question is, can you save the money elsewhere? Now, that's why Martinelli becomes a really interesting point for me, because that's 1 million. And if I've saved 1 million by not having Saka and having Martinelli, maybe I can have Trippier instead.
Yeah, I'd opted, like Jules, to go for the heavy front three. Jules, it was fun, wasn't it? Yeah, once you've got that front three in, and once you put Son and Salah in, you realise everywhere else there was compromises everywhere, wasn't there?
I almost bought you and I to put in my team because that's all I could afford.
I think they'd have given you me for free, to be honest. I wouldn't have been much use at all.
You would only be on my bench, you know, don't get too excited.
Third sub, week in, week out, I'd take that, Jules. Okay, any other teams, Sam, you think we should mention when we're looking at the fixtures? Because obviously Forest are second on the fixture ticker, and I think they're in a far better position than they were this time last year. And we have seen a couple of players kind of show some form, or am I clutching at straws here?
Well, no, I mean, you've got Turner, haven't you? Who I think don't have him.
Yeah. I bought him on wildcard.
Yeah, then he's the perfect second choice to Areola. And the two of them work really, really nicely together. You know, I spoke last week about how I would have liked to have had Leno as my second goalkeeper. But actually, having watched Forest again this time and with a game against Luton coming up in game week 9, I think Turner is the perfect option because he seems to be holding his spot even with the competition that's arrived there.
Yeah, very good point.
And Fulham have very difficult games coming up as well. So I think it makes sense to have Turner ahead of Leno, for example.
Mm. Yeah, really good point. I can't believe I forgot the goalkeeper that I bought in on my wild card. Whoops. Played him last week and enjoyed his clean sheet as well. Sorry, Matt. Keep reducing those points, please. Okay, we'll move on from specific teams. Also, actually, one team I did just want to mention. Am I right in saying none of us went with a Brighton player on our wild card?
No.
That's right.
Wow, how things change, Sam.
But the problem is that it's Man City next. And
it's not just about one game. You always tell us that.
Yeah,
I know, Kel, but the reality is that last week it was Liverpool. This week it's Man City. So for most people, when you wildcard, you'll look to hold transfer for a couple of weeks. And my theory was, well, come game week 10, when the fixtures turn nicer, it's Fulham, Everton, Sheffield United, Forest, then I can look to invest. Plus, by then, I'll know what's happening with the Stupinian. We'll know whether he's fit and available, hopefully. So we'll have a bit more information there. We might get some more understanding about, you know, which Brighton player it is that we want to have. And I just didn't feel comfortable making that decision on a wild card. I thought I could build a better team for game weeks 8 and 9 and then look to invest in the Seagulls after that.
Okay, I understand. I basically just couldn't afford any of them once I'd got all those expensive players in.
And what are you going to do now?
Panic. No, I'm going to hold my transfer. I'm going to hold my transfer for this game week because I really like my team. And to be honest, even for the week after, I think I'm pretty happy with my team. But I'm going to wait, and then I know I'm going to have to make a decision and downgrade somewhere because there's just no wiggle room in my team. So I kind of had a rush of blood to the head, but I was hoping that in a couple of game weeks, I'd have a bit more information about the Arsenal midfield, to be honest. Mm. And then I'll take the decision over whether I need Son and Maddison. I think that's a big thing for me. I think I still will. Or will Ollie Watkins keep up this scoring run? Will Alvarez still be producing the points he's been producing?
Yeah, Alvarez could be the one, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be Alvarez down to an Archer kind of thing, and then it will just completely free up everything else. But I just couldn't quite sell Alvarez off the back of the performances last week, and I was just so desperate for Ollie Watkins, and of course he blanked. Oh no, he didn't. He got an assist, didn't he?
Yeah, assist. Yeah.
I celebrated the Ollie Watkins assist alongside a Diaby blank. in the kind of same breath, because at one point I had Diaby and then I changed it all around to have Watkins instead. So
you were unlucky not to get a goal from Watkins right at the end as well.
Yeah.
I know.
Even Diaby could have returned, like, as we say every week pretty much. But I'm glad at least you remember that you have one kiss in your wildcard team.
Yeah, I know. Can't trust me. I sacrificed the whole rest of the team to bring in Ollie Watkins. So trust me, I know he's there. Anyway, let's stop talking about my very imbalanced wildcard squad. Well, actually, if mine's imbalanced, yours is just as imbalanced. It did all right last week.
I'm at peace with it, so it's fine.
Me too. I actually am still quite happy with my team. You know, like when you do the thing where it flicks over and you can start to see for the next game week. I like half had my eyes closed because I was like, is this going to be terrible? I looked and was like, I'm actually all right in this game, you know, because my team looks all right for the next couple of weeks. So it's just my bench. God forbid we have any international break injuries. Elliot Anderson, my boy, you're going to be coming off the bench. Captaincy. Let's chat captaincy a little bit, because as myself and Jules saw this week, it can have such a huge bearing on your game week in terms of saving it, making it, breaking it, basically. Erling Haaland has still been the most captained every single week of the season so far. Jules and I went against him. Well, we all went against him and we all survived in terms of him not returning. But obviously Salah returned and now he's back in our thoughts a little bit. Are we changing how we think about Haaland when it comes to the armband, Sam?
Yeah, I think we absolutely should be. Like, we've had 8 game weeks so far. I've not captained him 3 times so far, which is unthinkable from last season. Like, yeah. I just wouldn't have done that. And I think, you know, we said, when we spoke to Ali, who won last year at the end of last season, he was talking about how he'd only captained Haaland 18 times last season. And that really kind of struck a chord with me, because I was like, sometimes you do need to just need to be a little bit brave, I think. And you need to look at the fixtures, look at the form, look at the players that are likely to haul. And that's the thing, is that it doesn't mean that Haaland's not likely to return. It just maybe means that somebody else has got a better opportunity to return big. And I looked at the fixtures for game week 8 and thought, I just don't see Haaland going crazy against that Arsenal defence. They can be really solid when they want to, particularly Saliba. He's absolutely outstanding. And like Craig Dawson, controlled Haaland so well in that one. So then it came down to a straight choice between, well, do I go with Son or do I go with Salah? And for me, well, there were multiple reasons for it. One of them was I could not bear the thought of watching my team in the 12:30 kickoff have 3 Spurs assets in it and my captain, because I just knew my mood would be a nightmare for the rest of the day if he didn't return. So there was part of that was at play. And then the other part was that I just looked at that Brighton defence and was like, who on earth is dealing with Mo Salah down that side? Because everyone's injured and they've got issues. And I thought he'd get space. And it was a later game in the weekend. And I prefer captaining someone a bit later on. So I do think that we shouldn't be auto-captaining Haaland. Every week we should be actually considering whether there's better picks out there now. Because there will be quite a few weeks of this season.
Yeah, and when you look at the fixtures, arguably Bournemouth and Luton in game week 11 and 16 for Manchester City are the only real game weeks where you go, Haaland is definitely my first choice option. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Jules, it looks like there's a lot of potentially better options in every other game week between now and City, of course, who blank in game week 18. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at game week 10, City play United in the Manchester derby when Arsenal have Sheffield United, for example. I'm not saying that, you know, it's easier to play Sheffield United or not, and Villa have Luton. So, yeah, you need to look at all of that. We've said before, though, that Haaland can score a hat-trick against anybody, and it was just one of those games against Arsenal that was really cagey, and there was not much. It was very tactical, and he didn't get much of the ball, full stop. You know, for him to get 0xG is incredible, and it doesn't really happen that often. So let's not dismiss him too much, but Sam is right. You're right, Kels, as well. It's just one of those where now we just, before we used to leave the captain armband on him all the time. Now we look at who everybody else's fixtures are and where we feel it the most. And for Salah, maybe you and I could have guessed that the Brighton conceding so many goals, that would be perfect for Mo Salah. It's true. And instead we went for Son because we looked at Luton and we thought, okay, Luton could be done badly here. To be fair, if Richarlison and Poro score early, it's Spurs are 2-0 up after 5 minutes, the game is over. And then after that, you can get to 4, 5, 6, and maybe Son has a better afternoon. So it's always hard, obviously, to predict. Otherwise, the game would be too easy. But yeah, just look at everybody and don't just look at if it's a team like Luton in the bottom of the table, because there are other factors in why you should pick a captain or not.
Sam, just a word on Son. The reason I'm annoyed with myself that I did captain him, and I was set on him, I'm not going to pretend that I it was a last minute decision. I thought about it all week and I was happy with it. But the reason I'm a bit annoyed with myself now is because he does keep getting taken off early, and I knew that was going to be the case. Are you concerned at all about his fitness and about those minutes? So when we are picking him, particularly for captaincy going forward, is that something we should be considering?
If I hadn't captained Salah, I'd have captained Maddison this week.
Because
of
that
basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the reason that when it comes to selling a Spurs midfielder in game week 10, I'm selling Son, not Maddison.
Mm.
I just don't think you get the same guarantee minutes that you're going to get with Maddison. You don't get necessarily the same involvement. So you have the opportunity for massive returns, as we've seen in some game weeks so far this season. But it's not necessarily as consistent as it is with Maddison. And I think if you're looking for a captain, you want somebody that's got the potential for a haul. Absolutely, of course you want that. But you also want the consistency of knowing that they won't blank. And for me with Son, I don't feel that you get that right now. There's always a potential for an early substitution, particularly as he wasn't pictured in training until Thursday last week. And that massively put me off, because Maddison was pictured in training all week, Porro was, all of the big guys, but not Sonny, not until Thursday. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable captaining him. So it came down to a choice between Maddison and Salah for me. Son, I think he will be the premium that a lot of people will look to move on, I think, to afford the Sakas, the other players that are coming good, the Trippiers, that he'll be the one that people free up money from.
Yeah, keep an eye on his involvement in the two international fixtures for the Korea Republic. He's playing on Friday against Tunisia and then against Vietnam, both of those fixtures in Korea. So it's not too bad when they play on Tuesday, because I know we worry a lot more when players are kind of playing on Wednesday and then not going to get back potentially till Thursday. But yeah, worth keeping an eye on his minutes during that period. Well, that's actually all we've got time for today. A slightly shorter version of the podcast for you this week, but only just. And that is, of course, because next week we'll be having the specific pod that helps you look ahead to game week 9. Both of you guys not making any transfers over this period, are you?
No.
Jules?
No.
No. Wait and see what happens, particularly with the international fixtures. That will be the only thing, Sam, that I think, because of my bench, that would be the only thing that would mean I'd have to do anything this week.
Kelly's taking a -8 this week.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not that crazy. But it's just worth, isn't it, just holding out over these next few games.
And 100%.
As in the next few international games because of injuries.
If you're planning to wildcard, do it now and take advantage of any price rises and price falls, although actually there hasn't been that many. And I think that suggests that people are starting to just take a minute to let the internationals play out this week and then make the decision kind of Thursday, Friday next week, because at that point you know who's coming back from international break when, how they're coming back in terms of their fitness, and we'll obviously hear from the managers about anybody that hasn't travelled and their fitness going into the game.
Gosh, I'm not looking forward to next week. I'm going to be sweating on the fitness of my team. A reminder, if you do want to join our FPL FOD Mini League, the code is IB3WLK. There won't be an off the bench next week. That is, of course, because there's no games this weekend, in case you haven't heard. So we'll be back with you next Thursday to look ahead to game week 9. Jules, any big international plans?
No, just watching France play Friday, Tuesday, the under-21s as well with Thierry Henry. England, a bit of a look at. Even the Spain-Scotland game on Thursday night. Tonight, we
some
record
good
this
games,
on Thursday.
Isn't
there? Yeah, some really good, interesting games, especially for FPL as well, because a lot of the Premier League players are involved. So make sure you keep an eye on everything as well.
Yes, and if you haven't kept an eye on everything, don't worry, Jules will have watched every single game this weekend and we'll tell you what you need to know next week.
Exactly.
Have a good weekend, guys, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.